Navigating life's broken promises. Life is unpredictable and fragile. We start with dreams and goals, but often face disappointments like failed relationships and unmet expectations. Our once certain path to happiness seems to fall apart. We are left wondering why we suffer and why our efforts seem in vain. Simple distractions provide brief comfort, but don't heal our deeper pain. It feels like our pursuit of purpose ultimately leads to a dead end. At this point of disillusionment, we face a choice. We feel restless and close to giving up. But it's here we find the hidden strength, the power of our inner spirit. Our sense of powerlessness isn't a sign of weakness, but a call to look within. Beyond life's broken pieces, we find a deep desire for understanding, acceptance, and change. The healing journey. Embracing inner strength in our struggle, we realize that lasting answers aren't found in temporary things. Chasing success, approval, or pleasure is no longer enough. We look inside, guided by timeless wisdom and the enduring principles of the soul. These principles go beyond the temporary and link us to the eternal. They show us that our nature isn't about what we achieve or lose, but about our ability to love, endure, and care. We live in a world characterized with constant change. Day and night, ebb and flow, sorrow and happiness. At the same time, we crave for something that is constant, harmonious, and without any sufferings, as if we have some lost ideal. Everything that exists in this nature is subject to the law of rising, shining, and fading. Everything that is born, everything that has a beginning, will eventually decay and come to an end. The hereafter, too, is governed by the same law. There, too, time and space prevail, and everything perishes after a while. The divine life field is the field in which everything is as it should be, as intended by the divine plan. It is the field in which absolute lasting values exist, where nothing ever perishes or turns into its opposite. This duality is also reflected in us. In essence, each person is part of an energy system called the microcosm, a miniature version of the cosmos, as expressed in the ancient teaching, as above, so below. At the center of every microcosm lies a divine spark, the eternal nucleus of one's universal origin. This spirit spark is the last remnant of the divine essence human beings once possessed. Surrounding this spark are subtle energy bodies that make up our inner world. We can distinguish four bodies. There is a vital body, giving life to the physical form or body, an astral or emotional body, and a mental body. This whole system of interconnected layers reflects the patterns and forces of the greater universe. Like the cosmos, the microcosm has something akin to a sky filled with stars and planets. Our system is open to some influences of the surrounding world and reflects other influences. The outer personality lives and dies, while the microcosm with the divine spark at the core continues through each earthly life. So, two worlds come together within human beings. The short-term physical realm on the outside and the eternal spiritual world at our core. It is from this divine spark that we hear the whispering of our cosmic belonging and true home. As we go through periods of challenge and change, we are urged to seek a solution which eventually can lead to turning inward to nourish this divine seed. It will provide a source of truth, purpose, and direction to guide us on our path.
Let's now talk about consciousness. When we think of our being, we think of the me, myself, and I. Everything we are is governed by the I, by the consciousness of our I. This is how we experience our world, our reality. We could say we see through the lens of our I consciousness, and we act based on our I. We try to achieve happiness, find harmony, we try to do good. But what is good for me is not necessarily good for the others. Just think of the multitude of people in this world, each one living out of their I consciousness, each striving for their own kind of happiness, which often means disadvantage for the others. The reality of our lives shows this all too well. So we could say our consciousness determines our reality. But we also have in our heart this divine soul principle that is part of another reality. This divine spark is the seed or the basis for another, a new consciousness. It is a tremendous potential that we have in our heart, but it is imprisoned in us by our state of I consciousness and all the noise it creates. Our task as human beings here in this nature is to let this spark radiate again and let it grow into a new consciousness, into a new soul that lives in this world but belongs to eternity. The I cannot evolve to it or become enlightened. It is not possible. But the I can be the instrument of the eternal divine consciousness growing in my heart. This is a total revolution of consciousness, a total turnaround of our entire life's focus. This is what is needed. Let us illustrate this situation with this image of a carriage with horses. Here the carriage stands for the microcosm. The spirit spark is the passenger. The horses are our personality with its body and its subtle bodies, and its thoughts, desires, wants, needs, and actions. The coachman symbolizes the I consciousness. He holds the reins and assumes he knows where to go, but he is without direction because he, the I, doesn't know the destination of the ride. He goes in circles, keeps getting stuck, and on top of it, he cannot control the horses, our thoughts, our emotions, our actions, and all our wants and needs. So the coachman can barely hang on. And still, he, the I, thinks he knows best and holds on to the position of control and power over the carriage and the horses, over the microcosm and the personality. The passenger, the spirit spark, is patiently and lovingly waiting in the back of the carriage, enduring all the erring of the I, of the driver, But the divine is never fighting against it. He is not shouting, but he is calling out to the driver to tell him where to go and how to go. But the eye doesn't listen. The voice of the passenger is drowned out by all the noise of the eye's stress, its turmoil, its disappointments, disillusionments, even all his ideas of self-realization and self-improvement. All this is our crumbling reality of our eye consciousness. But even though it is often painful, it also serves us to find a totally new understanding of our life. Eventually, the coachman, the I, gets so stuck in his own ideas, experiences so many disappointments, that he begins to realize it is not about his ideas. And he finally turns his attention away from himself, the I, towards the calling of the passenger, the voice of the divine spark in the heart. Then the passenger can begin to show the coachman where the carriage, the microcosm, needs to go to its true destination, the divine life field. We as personality with our eye consciousness are meant to be the instrument for the divine principle in us. Then a new soul, a new consciousness will begin to unfold from this seed. This new consciousness is part of an eternal reality. This is not far away or somewhere out there. It is right here. But our eye consciousness has no means to connect to it. Only the new consciousness can live in it. When this process begins, then our crumbling reality can also begin to heal. Because the state of our consciousness determines the state of our life reality.
We talked about letting the new eternal consciousness grow in our heart. You may wonder, what happens then to the I consciousness? They can both exist within our being simultaneously. The I consciousness is needed for our survival as human beings here in this life, so that we have food on the table and a roof over our head. But the I does not have the ability to direct the personality towards the true purpose in life, which is enabling the new consciousness to grow so that it can manifest in the eternal microcosm. The I consciousness can become the helper of the new consciousness, but not its boss. The I needs to make room for the inner voice of the divine spark. It needs to step out of the way. How do we do that? By achieving an awareness of this inner yearning of our heart. Then the noise of the I will subside. And by self-knowledge, we can begin to recognize the dynamics of the I. Usually, the I is the overpowering force in our life. We have opinions, we judge, we criticize, we look for our own advantage. We are driven by many different emotions throughout the day. When we begin to observe ourselves, it will become more obvious to us how occupied we are in making our I feel strong and good. In all this noise, we do not hear the yearning of our heart anymore. Eventually, we will begin to not blindly engage anymore in everything that comes our way. We will see more clearly how our reactions are triggered, how automatic they often are, and how easily we criticize and judge. It is not about suppressing our emotions or reactions. It's more about seeing ourselves in the light of the divine in our heart. This will bring us over time another perspective of our being and of our life. Usually, we would say, I have a soul, but we can also turn this around and get a much deeper meaning when we say, the soul has me, the soul needs me. The I cannot heal our crumbling reality, since it has actually created it. But the new soul, the new consciousness, can bring the healing. Will we let this new consciousness grow in us?